You're listening to
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
With Dawn Sarah.
With Dawn Sarah.
Thanks. Bye.
Hey, listeners, it's Dawn Sarah. I am recording this episode from San Francisco because this weekend is Madison Young's Erotic Film School, and I am here learning how to be a porn creator and filmmaker. It has been a really intense weekend so far, and it's great to actually get some hands-on experience with these things that I have been thinking about and teaching about for so long. We've got like 9 of us in the class. Yesterday, we learned all about kind of pre-production and screenwriting and creating a shot list, you know, that shows you every single shot that's going to be in your film. And we learned all about the 2 performers' kind of likes and dislikes and what they were hoping we'd be able to incorporate. And so we learned from Andre Shakti and James Darling, who were our 2 models for the film that we're creating. And of course, Andre has been on the show. They were hoping to do some wrestling. And so we, as the creators, decided to build a film around allowing that wrestling to happen and then to turn into something sexy. So we came up with a storyline and got it all organized yesterday. And then today, Andre and James came to our location and we filmed our erotic film. I had a chance to be the director for a little over half of it, and I was guiding the videographer for the shots that I wanted, and it was really fun. We were outside and we stopped traffic and I was yelling action, and PAs were running around and helping, and Madison was a wonderful coach, and then we moved inside, and it was wonderful to have the lived experience of participating in this kind of creation. And also, it was incredible to see the professionalism and the comfort that Andre and James brought, you know, to exist in a space fully nude with such grace and comfort. It made all of us newbies, I feel like, feel a lot more comfortable. And they were such good sports. We had to start and stop their sex so many times because, you know, it would be difficult to get the angle we were hoping for, or, you know, we wanted to get a different angle, but it was going to be disruptive if we didn't stop them first, and the camera battery died. And they were just so wonderful about laughing about the starts and stops and, you know, needing more lube. And, it was wonderful to actually be in the space and to feel what it's like when creators, both behind and in front of the camera, co-create something and then allow this process to unfold. There was just so much relaxation and giggling, and there was even a rooftop party on the building across from us. And so we opened the curtains and Andre stood there fully naked, like waving at them. And they all started waving back and flashing us. And then people were mooning them. And, you know, it was just kind of this like really playful spirit in, you know, the space of creation. And then tomorrow we will be editing the film and adding music, and then it will be screened at a little film festival tomorrow night. So I took a couple of pictures of everything and some videos. I'm actually going to put those up on Patreon. So if you are a Patreon supporter at any level, from $1 up, you will get to see some of the video that I took and some of the pictures from behind the scenes to just kind of see what it was like for me. So of course that's at patreon.com/sexgetsreal if you want to check that out or support the show. So because I'm in San Francisco and doing this on the road, very last minute, because I wanted to be able to talk a little bit about what was happening in film school, I'm going to field a couple of your emails and then we will call it a wrap for the week because I am exhausted. And tomorrow more porn making has to happen. So let's jump in. I got a text message from someone who wanted to weigh in about last week's episode with Reed Mihalko. So of course that was episode 153. And in it, Reed and I fielded a listener question from Lauren, who was worried that even though she had been identifying as heterosexual, she had recently found herself becoming enamored with lesbian porn. And she wondered if that was saying anything about her sexual orientation. And Reed gave some lovely advice around that. But a listener wanted to text in with his example of kind of going through the same thing, just to share with Lauren. So here's what it says. I just listened to the last episode and really enjoyed the discussion about Lauren and lesbian porn. I'm a 24-year-old straight male, and I previously had similar issues in the past about watching trans porn as well as women using strap-ons on men. It took me a while to understand that this didn't mean I was gay. Being a college athlete, there is a lot of negativity towards gay men and anal sex. Most isn't real hate, but nevertheless, the stigma is still there. After I got away from sports and more comfortable with what turns me on, I started understanding that sex is sex and it doesn't define your sexual orientation. My little motto towards it now is gay guys do butt stuff, but butt stuff doesn't mean you're gay. Seems so simple and like common sense now, but I hope that this episode helps Lauren clear up the things she's excited about. Thanks for what you do. So thank you so much for writing in, listener, and also to Lauren. I hope that last week's advice with Reed and also this week's solidarity with a listener helps as well. I got another text message from Mona, and it says, "Hey Dawn, I love your podcast. It's amazing. I was wondering, when shopping for Benoit, aka Kegel balls, is it better to buy the ones on the string, the ones that vibrate, or the pair of unattached metal balls? Thank you." So I think there's not a better, there's just a preference. Some of it might be driven by price point. Some of it might be driven by the feel that you're going for, or even the reason that you're using them, whether it's for pleasure or it's for pelvic floor exercises. There's lots of different things to choose from. And I think as long as you go with a non-porous option, then you're going to be good. So the steel Kegel balls that are kind of separate, two little balls, those are usually very affordable, you know, like around the $15 range. I will tell you that many years ago, I bought a pair of the individual steel balls, and the first time I used them, which was actually one of the only times I used them, I inserted both of the balls, and when I was ready to release them, the first one came out very easily because gravity and the weight of the ball on top of it pushed it out. But the second ball, when it was left all by itself, really didn't want to come out. And when those things are slippery and they don't have a handle, it can be a little bit frustrating or alarming when it doesn't come out when you want it to. I had a little bit of a like, oh God, will I have to go to the doctor for this? But then I crouched and I coughed and that forced it out in a somewhat comedic way as it rolled across the bathroom floor. So just be aware that while things cannot get lost inside your body through your vaginal canal, it can be a little difficult to get those balls out when they don't have any type of string or attachment. Now on the opposite end, you can get really beautiful silicone covered Kegel exercisers by Jeju. Those tend to run closer to like 55, 65 range. But it's a set of three. They all have a little handle So it's very easy to remove. They come in different sizes and weights and widths. So that gives you an opportunity to try different weights and sizes for whatever you're using them for. So those are a little bit more expensive, but because they're 100% silicone, it means that they're very easy to clean. You don't have to worry about bacteria getting trapped. So there's just two things I want to kind of let you know about Mona before you make your decision. If you're buying Kegel balls from kind of a mainstream sex toy store that's not body positive and body safe, like Shebop or Smitten Kitten or Self Serve, the mainstream sex toy stores, I think, still sell Kegel exercisers that have a cotton string separating them. I'll just warn you that that is a porous material, right? So it is going to trap bacteria in bodily fluids and lube. And yes, you can wash it, but sanitation of that is going to be a lot more difficult. It's probably something you're not going to ever want to share. So if that's important to you, having, you know, a way to actually sanitize your toys, then stay away from anything that's got the little cotton separator. Also, some companies try to get fancy with their design. And so there's little ridges of like a thicker silicone kind of wrapped around an interior silicone ball. And it can be a little difficult to actually clean those really well when there's like little ridges or seams where bodily fluids and lube can get trapped. So my suggestion is just decide what you want to use it for. You know, if you're going for pleasure, then a vibrating one might be better. If you're going for actually strengthening your PC muscles, then, you know, from the more affordable steel balls, which are non-porous as well, all the way up to something like the Jeju silicone set, you know, those are going to be easy to clean, body safe materials, and give you a lot more longevity and flexibility with what you can do with them. So I hope that was helpful, and thank you so much for listening. So this next email comes from Scarlett Grace, and the email says, "First, let me state that I am married, but we have a kinky side. We love to have parties at our house where things are going to get out of hand. But recently, my friend broke up with her long-term boyfriend, and she's out ready to get laid and have some fun. The problem is that we've played around with her in the past, but we decided about a year ago that we wouldn't play with her any longer. She's very promiscuous and loves to have multiple partners, many of which I personally would not fuck. My worry is that she's not being safe with these partners, and I don't want to chance it for anyone. When she's brought up sex with me since her breakup, I've kind of blown her off or played as though I thought she was joking. I value her friendship and I don't want to make her feel uncomfortable, but at the same time, I need to let her know how I really feel. How do you suggest I go about telling her our playtime has passed without hurting our friendship? Also, we are coworkers, so we spend a good amount of time together and are known to be a little wild at times. I don't want to change how open we are and how when we get together, things can get a little out of hand. Thank you so much. I love your podcast." So Scarlett, thank you so much for writing in with this. There's a lot here. And I have some additional questions that are going to kind of shape my answer. So the first thing is, you said you're worried that she's not being safe. And I want to know, is it because she's told you that she's not consistent with barriers? Is it because she's not asking for people's test results? Is she not being tested herself? Or has she been tested and she's not disclosing? So is there something specific that is making you worry? Or are you kind of linking promiscuity with risk? Reed Mihalko, who was on the show last week, he is very open about being a promiscuous slut. And he has many partners. He publishes his STI results every time he gets them online on social media to help kind of reduce the stigma that someone who has many sexual partners is unsafe or doing something risky. And so I think one of the things you need to unpack is, is your worry that she's not being safe because she's indicated or told you she's not? Or is it because having sex with many people feels risky to you? So it might not be risky for her. It might feel risky for you because that's something you wouldn't do. And there's a difference in that that I think you need to unpack. As for not having sex with her or not playing with her anymore, I'm curious about, I need to let her know how I really feel. I want to know, what does that really mean? Are you wanting to let her know that you disapprove of the promiscuity, that you feel unsafe with her as a partner? Those feel very personally motivated. And it sounds like you want to retain this friendship and this connection. And so I think instead of centering your need to get things off your chest, you need to center, what can you do to keep things open and loving and connected if you value this friendship? So I think that what you need to do is center what is working. So if it comes up again, letting her know that at this point in time, you are so in love with the friendship that you have and the way that you have fun when you go out together, and that that feels really powerful and lovely, and that's kind of where you want to sit right now, and that you super appreciate the times you've played in the past, but that's just not really feeling like where you want to be right now. You just want to like love and roll around in the pleasure that is your friendship. And you can leave it at that. You know, if she has additional questions, then I think being upfront with, you know, I prefer having, you know, a little bit more control over the activities that I have and the people that I engage with. And so I don't want to shame you, and I want you to go out and have this wonderful time and have all these experiences, but that doesn't feel like a good fit for me right now, I think is fair. But how can you center what you want to maintain and nurture instead of focusing on the things that aren't working and the places where you might inadvertently shame her or hurt feelings, right? So this isn't about manipulating, but it's about saying, these things are true for me. I love what we have. I want to keep what we have. This feels like a good fit right now. And I want us to just stay here because it feels so wonderful. And that to me sounds like a lovely invitation. So I think that you, Scarlet Grace, need to unpack a little bit of your worry and also your motivation for kind of telling her how you really feel. That to me feels very confrontational, and that you kind of feel like you need to say these things to her. And that might help you feel less shamed or guilty or frustrated. But if that ends up damaging the friendship, you know, is that really what you want to be cultivating? So I hope that was helpful. Good luck in navigating this with your friend. And thank you so much for listening. By the way, if you hear some random background noise, it's probably because the Airbnb that I'm staying in the Mission District of San Francisco, is on a street that has this really bizarre kind of rise and fall. And so there is an entire like gaggle of skateboarders directly outside of my window right now, just going back and forth doing all these tricks. And so if you hear funny little noises, I am deep in the Mission District of San Francisco, and there apparently are some skateboarders who have decided that right outside my window is the perfect place to be doing this right now. So I got this email from Delilah. The subject line is First Time with a Lesbian. And the message is short and sweet. And I'm sure longtime listeners will have an idea already of where this is going. But it says, I want to keep up and make sure I entertain my girlfriend. So what tricks can you share? So far, our sex life is amazing, but it's a bit intimidating sometimes as she has many experiences in the past. She is older than me as well. So what do I do and how do I do it? I love that you want to keep things interesting with your new girlfriend, that this is your first time with a lesbian and you want to impress her and do things right. And longtime listeners of the show already know what I'm going to say. But this is a situation where talking to your girlfriend is going to be the best way to impress her. The number one way to impress a lover is to actually sit down and ask them, what do you want? What are your desires? What are your fantasies? What are some things that we can do together that would feel new or feel exciting or feel edgy? And then to actually start fulfilling those things. That is literally how you make someone's sexual dreams come true. It's not by learning tricks and trying things and hoping that she likes them, right? So that's the danger that so many of us kind of get stuck in, of reading these lists of the 5 best ways to make them come, or the 3 no-fail blowjob techniques, right? Those things are not universal, even though they're billed as being universal, because all of us are so different. So Delilah, I do think there's some basics that you can learn if this is your first time with a lesbian. For sure, check out Allison Moon's Girl Sex 101. That book is a beautiful read. It's really fun. It's got comic art in it and a story that weaves through it, but lots of practical information about vulva sex and lesbian sex and different types of techniques and toys and pleasure and what that looks like with stories. So I think that would be a really good jumping off point for just kind of learning some of the basics around like anatomy and pleasure. But if you really want to impress your girlfriend, even if she's older, even if she has lots more experiences, she has never done these things with you. So she may have, you know, been fingered by 50 different people in the past, but she's never been fingered by you. So that's going to be a new experience for both of you because you're cultivating this together. So sit down with a yes, no, maybe list that you can get if you sign up for the Sex Gets Real newsletter, or find one online, or watch some porn together and ask each other questions, or buy my sex mapping game that gives you an opportunity to play this game and ask lots of questions about pleasure and experiences and desires and fantasies and hopes for the future. The only way to really be a good lover to your girlfriend is to actually ask your girlfriend what makes a good lover. That is the only thing. Because I might tell you do this thing with the clit and your girlfriend might hate clit stimulation. Or I might say do this thing with fingers and your girlfriend might have vaginal pain or hate that thing with fingers. And that is super normal and okay. So your job, Delilah, whether it's your first time or your 50th time with a lesbian, is to actually say, I want to be a wonderful lover for you. And I want us to cultivate pleasurable, exciting, fun experiences. And so what does that look like for you? And then start trying those things out, knowing that sometimes it's going to go wonky and sometimes it's going to suck and sometimes it's going to be hysterical and sometimes it's going to be transcendent. But it has to start with you actually talking to your girlfriend and then giving her those things that she wants rather than trying to guess and be some magical, mystical, sexual expert, right? That only happens in the movies. So connect with her and then deliver. But definitely check out Allison Moon's Girl Sex 101. I think that that is a wonderful starting point for anybody who is engaging in sex with someone who has a vulva. So I hope that's helpful, Delilah, and thank you so much for listening. Okay. Ben wrote in and it says, girlfriend, sex, sexual experience. Hi, Dawn. My name is Ben, and I'm 24 years old, and I have a girlfriend that I live with. The sex is good, and we love each other. The problem is I feel like I haven't experienced enough sexual encounters and sexual experiences because she is my second sex partner. I told her I would love to try anal, and I've never got a blowjob, so I don't want to miss anything sex-related. She said it's a bit degrading, but I don't see it that way. We don't have a lot in common, and I would love her to share my passion towards exercise, and I try to lead her there by training her on the occasions she wants to. I really love her. On one side, I want to experience sex with more people. On the other, I really love her and I don't want to lose her. So I would love to hear your thoughts. Thank you very much, Ben. Oh, you know, I'm a little concerned with, we don't have a lot in common, that you want her to share your passion towards exercise and you try to lead her there. But it's not something that she's into. So what it sounds like is you love this person and you want to be with her and you don't want to lose her, but there's not a lot to hold on to other than that. You don't have anything in common. You really want her to be passionate about exercise and she isn't. If you keep trying to make that a priority for her, that's easily a place where some major resentment can start coming up. It's also a really easy place to cause a lot of damage to someone. If she's constantly getting the message from you that she's not exercising enough, there is already enough information out in this world telling women that they aren't good enough, that they're not thin enough, that they're not small enough. And so that can be something that causes a lot of long-term insecurity if you're not careful. So I think what you need to do is decide, what about her do you love? You need to actually be able to write this down. What needs of yours is she meeting? What needs of yours aren't being met? And then really decide, is this a person that I can actually communicate with and try and kind of find some common ground? Or are we just kind of in love and these things don't really match and I'm afraid to be alone and so I'm just trying to like stick it out? Because based on your email, what I'm hearing is the sex is pretty good and you love her, but there's no reasons. Why do you love her? What is it that keeps you two laughing, that keeps you two connected and turning towards each other? What are your dreams for the future? You know, or is this just something that feels good for now and you aren't really looking ahead? You're not really looking towards the future. The other thing that I think is important is being focused on having a certain number of partners or a certain kind of sexual experience, I think often makes us live in the future or in a dream. And then we forget about the beauty and the pleasure and the connection that's available to us right now. And that can be very damaging to any kind of relationship, right? I mean, if you're friends with someone, but you're constantly looking ahead to who you want this friend to become, or the things that you hope you do with this friend, to the point where you're not really thinking about what you already are doing, that's going to feel really shitty for your friend. And so the same can be true about your girlfriend. There are so many opportunities to have tons of sexual experiences, both by yourself through fantasy and porn and erotica and exploring your own body with toys and hands and all that kind of good stuff. And you can also have a rich, healthy, intense, creative sexual connection with someone and be in a monogamous relationship. But you can't force her to do things. And if these are things that are really important to you, then it might mean that you two aren't a good match. And so I think that you just need to decide, is this connection something that is important enough to you that you are willing to be patient and take some time and actually see if you can learn more about her and what she wants to be experiencing so that there can be some mutual exchanges there? Or is it more important to you that you start experiencing anal sex and trying blowjobs and exploring these sexual facets to yourself? Because if that is a priority for you, then I think the kind thing to do would be to express that to your girlfriend. And if she can't go on that journey with you, then transition out of this relationship with her. Because what I really don't want to happen, Ben, is that you stay in this relationship because you love her and you're scared of being alone or losing her. And at the same time, all of this resentment and stress is secretly brewing because you want to be having these other experiences. And that's where it becomes very easy to degrade trust and to start unethically exploring sex with other people, right? So that's how cheating happens. That's how affairs and infidelity starts. That's how you start kind of towing boundaries you've never talked about with your girlfriend and convincing yourself that it's okay, and then potentially really truly crushing her. The other thing that I just want to warn you about is you can be passionate about exercise and she cannot be passionate about exercise, and those things can coexist really beautifully. So don't be in relationship and then be trying to change somebody in a way like that. You know, it's one thing to make an invitation of like, I super love this, and if you ever want to join me, that would feel super good. But to try and consistently pull her in, that's another place for more resentment. So Ben, what I want you to do is get really, really clear on specifically what about it is this relationship that you value, that you want to nurture, and what about your personal needs and interests do you want to explore? And then have some conversations with her about whether she wants to go on these adventures with you. And if she doesn't, then make some decisions around transitioning out of the relationship so that people's feelings don't get hurt and resentment doesn't build. And who knows, you might let her know, like, I've been feeling a lot of anxiety because I really want to have these experiences. It's something that I just feel is important to me, and I would really love to be able to do them with you, but I also don't want to pressure you. So can we talk about that? And then allow her to have a reaction and to have questions and to not be sure. You know, don't make it something that all has to happen in one night. You know, circle back a few days later and kind of see where she's at and then make some decisions. So I hope that was helpful, Ben. Thank you so much for writing in with your question and for listening. Okay, we have time for one last question, and then I'm going to wrap up because I am exhausted from all of the porn goodness, and then I am going to get ready for bed on a Saturday night in San Francisco. So Leah wrote in, and it says, "Hi, Dawn. I've been watching your Explore More series, and one thing that I may have missed or hasn't come up yet, and I want to know your thoughts, are how do polyamorous people deal with the outside world? For example, so-and-so is married, but they're polyamory. The nosy neighbors think that she or he is cheating on their spouse. Rumors abound. So how do you keep your lifestyle private and also avoid the gossips? It's hard to explain my question, but I hope that this makes sense." That's a really great question, Leah. I think a lot of this depends on where you live, right? So if you live in a big urban city, then the likelihood of this being a real issue, where there's probably lots of people in non-monogamy situations, where neighbors are probably a lot less likely to be keeping an eye on who's going in and out of the house, it's going to be a lot easier. But I also think that oftentimes, because we're feeling a little bit unsure or ashamed, we think that people are paying a lot more attention than they are. Now, if you live in a tiny little town, you know, with like a couple hundred or a couple thousand people, and everybody knows everybody else's business, and everybody goes to the same church and that kind of thing, then there is the potential that talk is going to happen if people notice these same people are coming over to the house over and over again. So again, results may vary. But you have to kind of decide, like, where are you living? What does your life look like? You know, it's not unreasonable for adults to have adult friends come over to their house on the regular. You know, I don't think in many places people would bat an eye at friends having a weekly dinner party or something like that that goes late into the evening, or to have friends and family spend the night for the weekend, right? So people don't have to know what's happening inside of your home. It can just look from the outside like you've got really great friends who come over all of the time. So you get to decide your level of outness and how you navigate that. You know, maybe you take turns meeting at each other's houses, or maybe you, you know, come over to one person's house every couple of weeks and then, you know, do a cheap hotel, you know, halfway between you or whatever it is. So there are some great books out there if you're interested in polyamory that can talk more about the logistics. So like Tristan Taramino's Opening Up, or Franklin Vo and Eve Rickert's More Than Two. But I think it's just really important to know where you live. So I live in a place where nobody would notice if people were coming and going all the time, because right now I'm living in this high-rise condo building just full of tons of people, and I don't really know my neighbors. And, you know, when I was living in Northern Virginia, in the DC area, I don't think my neighbors would have ever noticed that people were coming and going. You know, I wasn't really close with any of my neighbors. They were all super busy and worked all the time. So I would not have kind of had that. Now, I've never lived in a super tiny town where everybody knows everybody else's business. That might be where some discretion comes in, but you just have to kind of know your situation. If you watched Kevin Patterson's talk, he is the creator of Poly Role Models, and he spoke at the summit all about polyamory. You know, he has partners come over and spend the weekend very regularly, and his kids know all about daddy and mommy's friends and that they have these loving adults. And, you know, I think it's very clear that Kevin and his wife aren't worried about the neighbors and what they think. They're just having their friends over, and their friends stay for the weekend, and that's their business. So I would check out a couple of the books, maybe check out Poly Role Models by Kevin Patterson. That's on Tumblr. I'll provide a link on sexgetsreal.com for this episode. But I think most people in anything other than super small towns are kind of too busy to notice or to think much of it. And if you're in one of those really small communities, then you just have to get a little bit more creative. So yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that it's hard to answer just because there's so many variables of, are you out? Are you closeted? Big community, small community, conservative town, liberal town. You know, there's just like 1,000 different ways to negotiate that. For instance, here in San Francisco, definitely nobody would bat an eye. But you're in, you know, South Dakota in a 50 person town, different story. So definitely check out some of those resources. And if anybody listening has any additional resources or stories for Leah around gossips and towns and navigating polyamory, feel free to write in. You can, of course, use the contact form at sexgetsreal.com. Also, don't forget, we have a theme for March and April on listener confessions. That's messes. So I already got one email. It will be in next week's, or I might have two at this point, next week's episode. But I want to know about your sexual messes, about your emotional messes, about your relationship messes. It can be literal messes with like food exploding somewhere, or the lube bottle, you know, shattering on the floor, or it can be about messes around like infidelity or having your heart broken. Just what's messy? And then share your confession and your story with me. All the guidelines for confessions, of course, are at sexgetsreal.com for this episode. There's a link to the guidelines submission page. You can send that over to me. And check out patreon.com/sexgetsreal. You can't search for Sex Gets Real on Patreon because it's sex related and they don't do that. So you actually have to put in the URL. But if you want to see some of the behind the scenes stuff, any level of supporter from $1 up is going to get access to some of this goodness. And I am off to bed. So I will talk to you next week. Bye.